Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Pan-Africans Now podcast. I'm your host, Sheikah Bliss. And in this episode, we will continue with part four of our previous episode titled The African Diaspora and Bridging the Gap. Today, we embark on an extensive exploration of the harrowing journey endured by millions of enslaved Africans across the Atlantic Ocean. Join us as we uncover the true stories of resilience, survival, and hope. Before we continue with our episode, there are some terms that I would like to define for you. The reason I want to provide you the definition of these terms is because you will hear them being used throughout this episode and in future episodes of the Pan-Africans Now podcast. The first word that I would like to define for you is the word race. Race is a socially constructed concept used to categorize people into groups based on physical characteristics such as skin color, hair texture, facial features, and other visible traits. Unlike ethnicity, which is primarily based on cultural factors, race is often associated with biological or genetic differences, although these distinctions are not scientifically supported. Race has historically been used as a tool for discrimination, oppression, and the justification of inequality. However, it is important to recognize that race is not a biologically meaningful category. Rather, it's a social construct that varies across different cultures and societies. The other word that I would like to define for you is ethnicity. Ethnicity refers to a social category or group that shares a common cultural heritage, ancestry, language, religion, and other cultural traits. It is a term used to categorize people based on their cultural background or identity rather than biological or genetic factors. Ethnicity can include a wide range of characteristics and can be fluid and dynamic, as individuals may identify with multiple ethnic groups or they may change their ethnicity over time. In societies with ethnic diversity, people from different ethnic backgrounds come together, each adding to the cultural tapestry and richness of the community. Another term that I would like to define for you is the Middle Passage. You might have heard this term being used in our previous episode. The Middle Passage refers to the middle leg of the transatlantic slave trade triangle, which involved the transportation of enslaved Africans from Africa to the Americas. This leg of the journey took place across the Atlantic Ocean, hence the term Middle Passage. It was a horrific and traumatic experience for those that were subjected to it. During the Middle Passage, enslaved Africans were packed tightly into the holds of slave ships, often in extremely overcrowded and unsanitary conditions. They were chained together and forced to endure harsh realities of the voyage, including disease, starvation, and violence. Many did not survive the journey, succumbing to illness, malnutrition, or suicide. The Middle Passage was marked by unimaginable suffering and cruelty, with enslaved Africans treated as commodities rather than human beings. It is estimated that millions of Africans died during the Middle Passage, making it one of the most tragic chapters in human history. Let us continue where we left off in our previous episode. The transatlantic slave trade unfolded through grim stages, each marked by unspeakable atrocities and injustices. It commenced with the ruthless abduction of Africans from their homelands, often through violent raids or deceitful tactics. Families were torn apart, communities were shattered as men, women, and children were torn from their homes and herded onto slave ships. The forts of West Africa played the most vital role in the transatlantic slave trade. These forts were located along the coast. In modern-day Ghana, these forts included Asin Manso, Elmina Castle, Cape Coast Castle, Anamobo, Fort Nassau, Fort Amsterdam, Fort Christiansborg, and Fort Princenstein. In Senegal, these included Gori Island, St. Louis, and Fort Dalet. In the Gambia, these included James Island and Fort Bullen. In Sao Tome and Principe, these included Fort Sao Sebastião and Sao Tome Island. In Kenya, Fort Jesus. In Benin, Widao or Udao. In Sierra Leone, Bonce Island. In Mauritania, Arkin. In Nigeria, Badagry. These forts were created by Europeans and served as major hubs for the transatlantic slave trade, where enslaved Africans were imprisoned in dungeons, awaiting the grim fate aboard the transatlantic slave ships. Within these forts, the conditions were deplorable to say the least, with disease and death running rampant among the captive population. The Bight of Biafra, located in present-day Nigeria, Cameroon, Equatorial Guinea, and Gabon, was another significant region where enslaved Africans were transported from during the transatlantic slave trade. While there weren't as many European forts established in this region compared to others, it was still a major hub for the slave trade. Some of the notable locations in the Bight of Biafra include four regions in Nigeria: Calabar, Boni, Opobo, and Brass. In Equatorial Guinea, there was Fernando Po, and in Cameroon, Bimbia. In Gabon, there was the Gabon Estuary. These regions were active in the capture and sale of enslaved Africans, who were then transported across the Atlantic to various destinations. First-hand testimonies from those who survived the ordeals aboard the transatlantic slave ship vividly depict the unimaginable cruelty that was suffered by enslaved Africans. One of those survivors was Alauda Equiano, Igbo prince that was captured at the age of 11 and sold into slavery. Alauda Equiano, amongst others, recounts the appalling conditions on the slave ship. They described it as cramped and filthy quarters where individuals were shackled together, deprived of space and air. Disease and despair plagued the captives, with sickness and starvation claiming countless of lives during the voyage. One of the earliest recorded slave ships to set sail from the West African coast in 1526 was the São João Bautista. Forgive me if I didn't pronounce it right, but you understand exactly what I'm talking about. This ship departing from the port of the Elmina Castle in present-day Ghana was the ill-fated voyage that carried approximately 350 enslaved Africans destined for the Spanish colony of Santo Domingo in the Caribbean. The journey marked the inception of an era in which millions of Africans would endure the brutal passage across the Atlantic Ocean to the Americas. As the slave ships sail across the Atlantic, the Africans faced treacherous conditions and merciless treatment on board. The journey, infamously known as the Middle Passage, was a nightmare. Upon arrival in the Americas, enslaved Africans were immediately sold into bondage, forced to toil under harsh conditions on plantations and in mines. Countries such as Brazil, the United States, and the Caribbean islands became recipients of enslaved Africans, their labor fueling the economic prosperity of these colonial territories. Despite the darkness of the transatlantic slave trade, there were moments of resilience and resistance. Enslaved Africans fought back against their oppressors and forged bonds of solidarity and preserving their culture, faith, and humanity against all odds. One example of the enslaved Africans fighting back against their enslavers was the revolt on the Mermin in 1766. The Mermin was a Dutch East India Company ship en route from Madagascar to Cape Town, South Africa, carrying a cargo of enslaved Africans. During the voyage, the enslaved Africans, predominantly from Madagascar and Mozambique, launched a coordinated rebellion against the crew, led by an enslaved man by the name of Abraham. They overpowered the crew, killing several of them, including the captain. The enslaved Africans then took control of the ship and demanded to be returned to their homelands. However, the remaining crew members managed to steer the ship towards the Cape of Good Hope in South Africa, where they were intercepted by Dutch authorities. Upon arrival, the Dutch authorities attempted to negotiate with the rebels, promising them amnesty if they surrendered peacefully. However, the enslaved Africans refused to give up without guarantees of their freedom. Eventually, Dutch soldiers stormed the ship, resulting in a violent confrontation. Despite their bravery and resistance, many of the enslaved Africans were killed or captured during the assault. Some managed to escape and evade capture, disappearing into the surrounding wilderness. The Mermin Revolt highlights the lengths of which enslaved individuals would go to fight for their freedom and dignity. Another notable example of enslaved Africans fighting back against slavers aboard a slave ship occurred during the Amistad Revolt of 1839. In February 1839, Portuguese slave hunters abducted a large group of Africans from Sierra Leone in West Africa and shipped them to Havana, Cuba. Havana, Cuba was then known as the center of the slave trade. This abduction violated all the existing treaties. Two Spanish plantation owners by the name of Pedro Montes and José Ruiz purchased 53 Africans and put them aboard a Cuban schooner called La Amistad. The intention was to ship them to a Caribbean plantation. On July 1st, 1839, Despite their lack of weapons and being outnumbered, the Africans managed to gain control of the ship, kill the captain and the cook, and demanded that Montez and Ruiz sail them back to Africa. Instead, they sailed north. And on August 24, 1839, the Amistad was seized off the coast of Long Island, New York, by the U.S. brig Washington. The schooner, its cargo, and all on board were taken to New London in Connecticut. The plantation owners were set free, and the Africans were subsequently arrested and charged with mutiny and murder. The case attracted widespread attention and became a symbol of the abolitionist movement. The Africans' legal battle for freedom reached the U.S. Supreme Court, where former President John Quincy Adams argued on their behalf. In 1841, the Supreme Court ruled in favor of the Africans, declaring them free and ordering their return to Africa. The Amistad Revolt became a powerful symbol of resistance against the brutality of the transatlantic slave trade. As we reflect on the horrors endured by enslaved Africans aboard the slave ships, let us honor their memory and resilience. Their stories serve as a haunting reminder of the enduring legacy of the transatlantic slave trade and the resilience of the human spirit. As we come to a close of another enlightening episode of the Pan-Africans Now podcast, I want to thank you for joining us on this journey through the stages of the transatlantic slave trade. And until next time, stay empowered, stay inspired, stay connected, and keep bridging the gap.